In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The gospel of last evening was about the man who was a paralytic for 38 years, and the Lord asked him, would he have him do something for him? And he's asking this in the name of all humankind, because we are paralyzed, we are blind, we are lame, we have no abilities at all to save ourselves because of the passions that we have for the fulfillment of our own desires and the weakness that we have towards our own flesh. We can't solve our own problems. We need a savior. We need a savior. And so how is he going to save us? Well, since the beginning, when the Lord separated out the Jews, when he said, you will be my people and I will be your God, he gave them a manner in which to live. And through this manner, they knew both him, God the Father Almighty, and they knew the Spirit of God who spoke with the prophets. But they did not know the Son. Jesus Christ was new. So when he first started his ministry, he started in the very most humble way, imitating the things that John the Baptist had begun. And he did this for a very simple reason, that if he had simply declared that he himself was God, he would never have been able to have effectively brought us in to the sense that we could, if we will apply ourselves, command our own nature not to sin, but to look for those things that are heavenly rather than earthly. Now, you remember, as it's given in the first part, John was baptizing in Jerusalem. Remember from the Old Testament? You remember the oasis? Huh? It had 12 pools, and how many? Palm trees? 70, right? The disciples? The 12 and the 70. And here is John in this same place. And he says he was baptizing there because there was much water there. I think sometimes the Bible has included sort of jokes for people who understand what is going on. Yes, there was much water there. Yes, but what does the water mean? It's an invitation for us to see manifestly those things that we cannot see because they are spiritual. So we do not see the Holy Spirit. We feel the Holy Spirit. The word for spirit in Greek is pneuma. It's the same thing as breath or the same thing as a breeze, a cool breeze. Is a breath of air, a breath of fresh air. We also see this through the fire that comes upon the heads of those at Pentecost. We also see it as the water. We were told in the Old Testament about how the water was coming out of the east, and it was coming out 2 cubits, and it was coming up, and the water was rising and rising. For what? For the complete and utter baptism of all of those who would respond to their own internal understanding of their sinfulness and their own desire to be reconciled with God. They did it because they knew they were sinful. Oh, but there were so many who didn't. And if I may turn to the last part of what we have just prayed. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Everybody is going to be resurrected at the end of days, everyone. But those who are going to hell are not going to see the light at all. They're not resurrected to life, they are resurrected to death. And it's not that this will be for a period of time, as sometimes we look at some scripture and we imagine that there might be a place of atonement where we can work off sin. as the Roman Catholic Church has, and we don't look at the word carefully. The wrath of God abides on him, the person who does not believe in Jesus Christ. It abides, it lives eternally on him. It's not like a sentence of death. A sentence of death has a reprieve. The reprieve of the sentence of death is death itself. But there is no death. There is simply life apart from God, and the wrath of God remains on him eternally. Baptism is so important. Baptism is, and once you are baptized, to turn from that, well, the wrath of God will abide upon you. Now, people don't believe. Why don't they believe? Because it's not in their best interests. Well, what would their other interest be? And of course, the answer is the earth. We are earthly. I long for rest. I long for drink. I long for food. I long for comfort. There's all kinds of things that my body wants. And then my mind, what does my mind want? My mind wants to be exalted. My mind wants to be preeminent. My mind wants to be obeyed. All of these things are earthly things. And John, he was faced with a real conundrum. His disciples loved him. They loved him so much that when Jesus came, they still thought that John was above Jesus because Jesus had, in his condescending love for mankind, allowed John the Baptist to baptize him. John the Baptist said no. He knew. You see, let me tell you about the Holy Spirit just for a second. It's written here that the Holy Spirit is not given by measure, but that's not true. The Holy Spirit is completely given by measure to men, but it is not given to God by measure. It is not given to the only begotten Son by measure. He has the absolute fullness of the Holy Spirit at every moment. But John, when he was in utero, in his mother's womb, he was given the Spirit of God to let him know the identity of God himself. So he leaped for joy because this is the Savior of the world. John, as I don't know how big he was, he couldn't have been more than a couple of pounds, six months of age in utero, and he knew this is a gift. Some people are given the gift of healing. Some people are given the gift of prescience. To be prescient means to be able to predict the future, a knowledge of the future, prescience. Some people are given to be able to look at Scripture and make it so beautiful to all of the hearers. As we call John, his name is added, Chrysostom, the golden mouth. Why was he called the golden mouth? Because he was speaking things that were so tenderly spoken, so beautifully spoken. This is a gift. You know, who else is called Chrysostom? No one. No one else. There are healers in the Bible. There are people that see the future. There are people that know mystically things that will happen, that no one else is aware of. These are gifts. These are gifts. But John, having this gift, knowing perfectly who Jesus Christ was, knowing that he was the only begotten Son of God, he had to lead his disciples to the love of him, to the love of Jesus, because they were so close to him. I spoke with Pope Shenouda one time on his porch in the monastery, in his papal residence in Ambabishoy. Spoke with him personally about the problems with a couple of people that were confronting issues, and he was on one side and they on the other. And I said to him, why don't you silence them? Bring them before the Magna Mercadus, the Holy Synod. Let there be a judgment. He said, if I do that, there are people who are going to think that I'm just ganging up on them. There are people who are going to think, erroneously, wrongly, they're going to think erroneously that he's doing this. He wouldn't be doing this. He would be doing what is correct. And what I asked him to do was also a correct thing to have asked him. But he wouldn't do it because he said, you know, the potential is that the church might divide. If I sanction these people, there are people that love them. This is what John the Baptist was faced with. When a Jew came and was looking and seeing what was going on, the disciples of John the Baptist looked at this Jew who had been baptized by the disciples who were next to Jesus Christ. And they said, your baptism is not as good as ours. Your baptism is not as good as ours. You're not getting the first thing. You know, it's like people who go to university, and believe me, some of you kids who are asleep, who are going to go to university, I don't know how you're going to get in, but you're going to get in. They're taking anybody these days. When you decide what you want to do, then you look not just at the university, but the faculty. You look at the faculty of the university. And what is their eminence? In what esteem are they held by people in that profession? That's what you look at. I was going to go to USC one time simply because I loved, at the time, Friedrich Nietzsche. And the preeminent translator was at USC at this time. And I was studying philosophy. And I thought, I think I'm going to go there. Well, I changed my mind, but that's another story. But I wasn't looking at USC as USC. I was looking at that as this is the preeminent professor for existential philosophy specializing in Friedrich Nietzsche. Okay, so I'm going to go to this person. And there are other translations, and you can put them side by side. It's like looking at the translation of the Paradise of the Fathers that Wallace Budge has done, and Benedict Award, or one of the other people, and you read it line by line, and you'll see how much Benedict Award is lacking from that which was done by Wallace Budge, you know, 100 years before. But they were saying, yeah, it's inferior. See, Jesus didn't baptize. Jesus didn't baptize at all. He was simply with disciples who were baptizing at a different location. And when this Jew came who had been baptized by that and was just inquiring what's going on, right? See, here's what it says. There arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. That means we're doing it right. You're doing it wrong. That's what's being said right there. And then they went to him and they tried to, because out of love, they said, Rabbi, the one that was with you, that you testified for, which was the thing that made him great, the fact that you testified. And what did John say? No. I am not the bridegroom. You see, look. The Lord taught us as we would listen, step by step, during his incarnation. It was during his passion, when he was crucified on the cross and his blood was shed for our sakes, that he was able to take humanity, all of humanity, in his bosom and deliver it to the Father. I love phones. The Lord took all of humanity into his bosom and delivered it pure to his Father by the shedding of his blood, which was the propitiation for all offenses. What the Lord did in time immediately went in one direction infinitely to the past, and it went in another direction infinitely into the future. The people who are not yet born, the Lord died for them. The Lord brought them into a living relationship with God the Father Almighty as long as they will believe and they will act in such way as the Lord himself evidenced by his own behavior. What the Lord did, we must be imitators of, such that be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The St. John said to his friends that loved him so much, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth, but he who comes from heaven is above all. John is the greatest, Jesus confessed, of the men who were born of women, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And why is that? Because as long as John was on the earth, he was still struggling. You receive the prize at your death. Death is not something to be afraid of or ashamed of. And if you're approaching death because of old age, it is not a problem. But it is a very clear sign to every old person to start getting ready, to start getting ready, not to delay it any longer. Make sure that your house is in absolute order, that you confess regularly. If you don't confess, these sins are with you, and they will separate you from God just as clearly as the heretic is separated from God by his wrong thinking. You know, it's a condition of our flesh that we love people that we are personally close to. You know, none of us know, I believe, any of the people that are being tormented by the Russians in the Ukraine. We just don't know them. Anybody know anybody from the Ukraine? No. So how do we feel about them? But if you hear about somebody just in our diocese who is suffering from something, all of a sudden you attach yourself and your psychic focus becomes much more closely aligned with every little detail of their story. Well, what is that? It's just the pull of the flesh. It's just because we are earthly. We have to go beyond that. If we cannot go beyond that, we will not go beyond the earth. I'm just sorry right now because I just saw that one of the deacons has something on his head. It's a sticker. It's taken me away from. This is one of the reasons why John the Baptist was killed shortly after this, so that there would not be any more of the possibility of fragmentation in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, up until this time, hadn't spoken. You know, he did not give many sermons. But after the death of John the Baptist, he spoke continuously. Everywhere he went, he did not cease to speak. And he taught them about the Son of God, about the Word of God. But can you imagine in this time, just how hard it would be for all of those people to make that segue? Because when you love, it's very hard. There are people of Constantinople, you know, or other churches who have had patriarchs who were heretical. Can you imagine a patriarch being heretical? Can you imagine our patriarch being heretical, there will be people that still will love him even though he becomes a heretic. Even though he becomes a heretic, there will still be people that love him. Why? Because they're not focused on God, they're focused on the earth. When you prize somebody, it always inflamed me. When a bishop would come in the very beginning of our church, and this is in the early 80s, when a bishop would come to one of the two churches that we had at the time, St. Mary's and St. George, St. Mark, St. George, St. A bishop would come there, people would flock there. Do they not know that God is on the altar at every other church at every single time? What's the bishop compared to God himself? Why are so many people flocking to see the bishop? Did they know the bishop personally? Is he a member of their family? Who is this bishop? Why are they not staying at the church where they are? Is something unimaginable going to happen? And the answer is no. No. And I would never follow that around. And it always bothered me, and it will bother me to the day I die. Because whether you realize it or not, the greatest thing that is happening on earth is happening in this little poor church today. And it is happening in the same glorious way that it is in any great cathedral anywhere in the world. Jesus Christ will be alive on this altar, offering himself up in the purest communion possible so that he may enter into us and so that we may have a chance to feel that for just a little period of time, to feel it and to make some change perhaps noticeable in our lives. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.